Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
And so, right, get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. And I haven't spoken in about a month, isn't that right? Thank you. It's been great for me, you mean. But I want to encourage you that the Lord put in our hearts, certainly put on my heart over the last number of months, is that it is brilliant to sit under the gospel of grace, the work of Jesus, where Jesus is bigger in everything and in every way, and to receive glory and to receive his goodness, to receive his health, and to know that there is nothing that we can do to earn that, because it's all about him. It's about his will. It's about his heart. It's about his intention. And what he says is the more that we learn to trust and get a revelation of Jesus, the more we will receive his goodness in our lives. And the church is full of people who are tired out serving and tired out trying and tired performing. And that was never the gospel. The gospel was that everything that would come in your life would be an overflow of his goodness and his love. So what he says is just come and let me love on you first. Let me reveal who I am and what I've done for you. And as you receive, then there will be an overflow in your life. It's all that's the heart of the gospel, okay? And if you've sat under a gospel which says God only loves you to the measure that you do for him, then can I tell you that's not the gospel? Because he loved you first in every way. His design was that before you even drew a breath, he had already had in his heart who you were and what you would do. And he loved you first. And so there's nothing I can do today. As I stand here in all my beauty and handsomeness, all right? Amen, thank you. I'm speaking out those things. You know, what does it say somewhere in the Bible about that? You know, and you know what? I've got my flip-flops on, and all I'm going to say is don't judge me. I know that Gok Wan over here, Gary Thompson, who's on our board, criticizes me for wearing flip-flops, but I am free in Jesus' name. Amen. All right? I see. He's my fashion advisor. And do you know what's really funny? I got up this morning because preaching, normally you dicky yourself up a wee bit, but it's the summer, hey? You know, and I was coming down the stairs going, trainers or flip-flops, not what would Jesus say, what would Gary say? I had this picture in my head, go, flip-flops, Andrew, you can't do flip-flops. But no, I'm doing them and I'm proud to be doing it. So what we want to talk about is if Jesus has done this for you, if Jesus has gone to that cross, has taken all the weight of sin and sickness and hell itself onto his shoulders to set you free, how do you walk into it? Because we need to possess that which Jesus has provided. And that's where the lines get a little bit complicated at times, because when it comes to possessing, we can fall straight back into work. I do in order to get. And that's not, again, once we do that, once we start to feel the weight of what am I doing in order for God to move, then we've started to put ourselves back under the law. It's living in mixture. And that's where we nullify the grace of God. All right. When you get halfway, sort of, I do, God does, it nullifies actually the whole thing. But nothing works then, because it's all premised on Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And what I said is I started I'm going to just build a little bit on what Gary said last week, because something really struck me where I think we need to help each other to understand. But let me go back to the first week of July whenever I was speaking. Because I talked about how Joshua and Caleb come to the edge of the promised land. It's when they're crossing the River Jordan. And this is a picture, it's a physical act of what's happening, but it's a spiritual picture of what it's like to come out of slavery and walk into the land of freedom. And Canaan, being a physical place, represents actually a land flowing with milk and honey. So the goodness and the blessing of God, a land that he would give, that they would enjoy, that they would have to walk into. And remember, I said that at the very start, it's an interesting thing that this is why in churches, it's really important that you sit under a message which is about Jesus alone. Yeah. Do you get that? Because you will only ever be able to believe to the potential of the message that you sit under. If the message is limited, so will your ability to believe be. Do you get that? That's why when we preach Jesus and we sing Jesus and we put Jesus at the center, you can believe for anything. Do you get that? Because he is Lord of all. If your gospel is Jesus plus you, you're in trouble, because you will forever be limited and you will only ever believe to the level that you're at plus a bit of Jesus. Okay? But when it's Jesus alone, you can believe for it all. All right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because there is something then about going, well, where does that start? I love it when I said that in Joshua 3:3, it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Now, remember, I finished off by saying, this is just a quick recap, okay? That whenever they were going to go from across the Jordan, which is in full flood, there's absolutely no way in the natural that they can cross over as a people because they get washed away. What Joshua and Caleb do, they go round the people and they don't say, follow me. They say, when you see the ark, now we know in this church, and you can get it online, the ark is a picture of Jesus. It was always a picture of Jesus and what he would do. And what Joshua says is, when you see the ark, go from where you are and follow it. All right? And so what the Lord says to you is, when you capture a little bit of a glimpse of Jesus in your life, no matter what place you're at, follow him. For goodness sake, follow him. It's not about following people and ideas and principles, but when you capture Jesus, when you see Jesus, when you see what he's doing, when he reveals something of himself to you, then go after him. Wherever you're at, leave the place where you are and follow. You see, many of us see a little bit of a glimpse of Jesus, or he does something in our hearts, and then we just stand still. And the Lord says, no, when I do something, when you capture something in me, when I touch you, then go with me, all right? And follow me. And what happens is the priests go, they set foot in the water. It rolls all the way back to Adam, the town called Adam, okay? A picture of condemnation and everything that separates you from God being rolled back to the original sin, and dealt with so that you could walk through. And they walked through into the promised land. But it started with Joshua and Caleb saying, when you see the ark, not when you see me, when you see the ark, then follow. Do you get that? And so my encouragement was, what is it that you have seen of Jesus in this gospel of grace? Follow him. Okay? It could be about your money. It could be about relationship. It could be about anything. You know, sometimes people get a glimpse of the goodness of God and the provision of God. And we get that glimpse. And the Lord encourages us to be generous in our giving. But we stand still. And then every time we come across the same old river in front of us of lack and fear and stressing about the future, and the Lord goes, you know what? When you see me, just follow me and I'll lead you through. And when I lead you through, you'll be super blessed. All right? That's what it means. So what I want to quickly talk today just about where does it start? Because last week Gary was talking about, he was talking about David. And he was getting into the whole thing of Goliath. And I'm going to talk about this flipping puppy, right? If you're a visitor, my daughters and son and wife, I've got two wives and three sons. There's a good one for the visitors. A pastor's got three wives. No, I definitely don't. I've got three children and one wife, two daughters and one son. And for the last 18 months, every day of my life, they have asked me for a puppy. And I just need you to hold this thought in your head. There was no way in God's green earth that they were getting a puppy. Just hold that thought, because I was not joking with you. I was adamant, all right? There's a bit of a journey, because obviously you're thinking, really? We just saw your kids with a puppy on the screen. Let me tell you what, because I actually had a wee moment this week which helped me put this talk together about this flipping dog, all right? So, this blessed dog, sorry. And but I want to encourage you, because faith to possess the promises of God all starts, all right, in that principle of from your heart flows the issues of life. So with all diligence, guard your heart. How many times have you heard that verse, church? 53,000, yeah? More? Do we actually really know what that means? Out of our hearts? Actually, when we go to the Word, what we'll see is, I'm going to look at today at a way of interpreting the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. And in the law of first mention, when you see something mentioned for the first time in Scripture, what it means is there's something pretty powerful or significant about it. And you see that replayed in lots of different ways. I don't want to bore you with it, but that's it's a bit of academic study, and that's the way that it works. So the law of first mention is really important. So I'm going to look today at the first time that the word heart is mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New. And what it will do is it will give you a starting place to go, actually, there's things that go on in me, which are the beginning of me starting to have the God faith in me to walk in to everything that he has promised me. Amen? So who wants to see some breakthrough in their lives? Who wants to see more of the kingdom of God in their lives and the grace of God in their lives? Okay, well, listen up, and we'll do that. And let's start with this. What you behold is what you will become. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord." I want to encourage you in this, that the word behold, what you look at, what you give your attention to, sometimes what we think is it's just with our physical eyes, all right? And that is really important. What you lay your eyes to will affect and play out in your life. But it's something much more than that. The word here is katapritzo, if you're interested in Greek, and it means to reflect. Now, there's a guy called Trench. I was reading this week, a guy called Trench and a guy called Bruce, and they talk about this verse. And what they talk about is this. It's not that you merely resemble Jesus when you're looking at him, all right? Because to behold, katapritzo in Greek, means that it assumes that there's a prototype, okay? So an original, Jesus himself. And what happens is you don't simply resemble Jesus, but when you're in Jesus, you're drawn from him, all right? You're the same stuff. So it's more than a shadow, but actually what Jesus does in you when you have the Spirit of God in you is he reproduces his very self in you. Isn't that good? Now that's really important because when we start to understand this, we get to interpret things into, we're going to look at one of the verses from the Sermon on the Mount, which have been used actually, blessed are you, and you kind of go, that sounds really good, what does it actually mean? Because one of the verses I'm going to look at today is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I don't know about you, but under law, I've never felt pure. Yeah. I've always felt dirty, sullied, not good enough. Anyone? Oh, you're all looking at me like, oh, definitely not. We're just so spiritual in this place. You know what I mean? And I hear, "Blessed are the pure in heart," and I go, "Ah, man, my heart's anything but pure." If you really want to know, I can put on my Sunday face and preach a great sermon, but see, if you really wanted to know sometimes, it ain't pure, so therefore I'm not going to see God. That's the words of Jesus himself. And so what we need to do is we need to look at that and apply some good critical thinking and some good biblical dividing the word right to understand what first mention actually means. But you will see it when you behold Jesus, all right? That's where it begins. And so that's why Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus." Because what I'm trying to say is that where you begin to possess, all right, you will only possess on the basis of how big your revelation of Jesus is. That's the bottom line. You can only believe to how big he is to you. Does that make sense? So let's not reduce this to knowing things about Jesus, because anyone can do that. Because knowing God and possessing the promises of God means living in him and experiencing him. So what I want to do is this, is I want you to just quickly explain this today because I want it to really drop. And I want you to see that before you do anything, before you get to anything, understand what it really means to live out of your heart. All right? So why don't you, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 4. My son, this is what Sophie actually has lived, my 5-year-old, now 6-year-old, for the last 18 months. And I'm going to explain it to you now. "My son, be attentive to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all of their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." It's quite hard to say. "For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward." Remember, when you see the ark, follow him. "And let your gaze be straight before you." I've been encouraging you over the summer to feed well. That is the whole purpose of feeding well. If you're a visitor, what we've been saying as a church is what you feed on What you put into your heart is what you will live. And then what you feed on today in terms of the Word of God in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months will be your strength, will be your life, will be your anchor. And so you have to really feed well. And it's interesting what these verses say is that where you feed on good words, where you feed on the words of Jesus and the gospel of grace, all right, you will find life and you will find healing. Anytime you take the Word of God in and you take the promises of God, they will produce life and health in you. Do you get that? Every time. That's not me saying that. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that every time you feed on my word, every time you feed on me, it will bring about good fruit in your life. Now, here's what's interesting. He then talks about how do you guard this heart? Because if you, in reading the word, that's, and you read the gospel and you read all about what Jesus has done, and then there's a gap and we don't possess it, in that place, we can get very frustrated. Many people turn their backs, they walk away, they blame God, they get back under law to go, well, I need to be doing and adding to what Jesus has done. And this gap is really hard. But actually what the Lord says is, in that place, just keep this really, really soft, all right? And guard it and look after it. Because what the principle here is, long before you see something on the outside of your life, good or bad, it was already on the inside of you. And from that place, your mouth speaks. So from your heart, what the Lord says is all the issues of life flow. What you see on the outside was already on the inside. That's why you have to guard it. And so sometimes we go, well, this stuff on the outside, why does it keep happening to me? Why am I not seeing change? Actually, the issue is not the outside, the issue is the inside. And this is why the gospel of grace goes right to the inside of who you are. And so it's a bit of a challenge this morning to go, actually, what's in there? Because it's all flowing from there. All kinds of dysfunction come from your heart in the first place, and all kinds of blessing come from the first, from that place. So Lord, help us with that. In Hebrew, that verse actually reads, with all that you can keep, with all that you have, keep your heart. So what on earth does he mean? Right, so let's look at the law of first mention to find out, because whenever I hear that, I go, Lord, if that's true, if my life and what happens in my life flows from the inside, then what on earth does that mean? Can you help me with that? Where do I even start with it? Because I feel like, I'm just being honest here. I feel like sometimes I go round and round in circles. I want to see the blessing of God. I want to see the fullness of God more. I love the miracles, but I want to live blessed. Anyone? Yeah? I love to hear that, like, but I want to live with peace. I want to live with a sound mind. I want to live with strength in my body. I want to live in the shadow of his wings, Psalm 91, protected and safe and sound. I want that so much. That's where I want to be found. That's what I want for my children and for their children. Amen? All right? And the Lord says, actually, so it's not about me because that's what I've already willed. That's your inheritance. Isn't that brilliant? He says, absolutely. Now, there's a thing about guarding this because it's going to flow from there. Let's go to the law of first mention and we'll see where it happens. It's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it's really important because there's something very powerful. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. This is the first time heart is mentioned. The Hebrew word is labab, okay? It means inner place. And that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What we see here is that God links the heart with what you imagine and your thoughts. Now, this is really important. So the first link that God makes in the Old Testament is your heart is about what you can imagine, what goes on there in pictures. You see, when we think of our minds and we think of hearts, what we think about minds is that, or imagination, sorry, it's all about your mind. So when you're imagining things, it's all about what's up here. Actually, the Lord goes, no, what you imagine is in here. Do you get that? So he links your imagination and what goes on in those pictures with what's actually in here. Now, this is The Lord then starts to help you. Now listen to me. Because I know for most of you this is brand new, so I'm going pretty slow. It's much deeper than just your thoughts, all right? You see, your mind is about two things. It's about logic on one side, and then it's about that analytical, logical thinking on one side. That's the way the Western education system works. You get that? So we approach the Word of God like that at times, don't we? And we go, well, what does it mean? Help me to understand it. What does it say? How does it reference somewhere else? How does it back up? That's one way of thinking, isn't it? Everyone say, yeah? Okay, but actually, there's another bit of us which is highly creative and works in pictures. The other way is we know things and we think things, and we our thought life is all about the pictures that we have. Do you get that too? And so, interestingly, what happens is when the Lord starts to talk about where you begin to guard this, He starts to link the imagination with what's really going on in the inside of you. And what is going on in pictures in you will give you an idea of what's going on in your heart. Let me help you with it. Because once I started to get this, I was like, okay, this really helped me. So you have logic and nous are the two words in Greek, okay? Logismos and nous. One is about being analytical and one is about the pictures that are painting. This is why in Hebrew, as an example, or in the Bible, do you know why they taught in pictures? Why today in Israel, they teach in pictures? Because God actually, what he does is the whole way through the Bible, and you've maybe never seen it like this before, he actually gives you faith pictures which help you to inherit the promises of Jesus. And so we can't approach our minds just analytically about logic. We have to go, actually, the way that you've made us, Lord, and what your first link about how we think is about what we imagine. Now, let me help you with it still, all right? Because, you know, like Aleph Taf, we've talked about the picture of Jesus in Hebrew. Well, can anyone help me? Aleph and Taf, what are the word pictures? The bull and the cross, okay? So if it's simply analytical, what the Lord would have done is gone Aleph and Taf, that's what it means. But with every single letter, they give a picture so that whenever I think of Aleph Taf, I think of the bull on the cross, okay? The servant leader, the strong leader on the cross. What about the four faces of Jesus hung up on the banners as they camp in the Old Testament? The four faces of Jesus, okay, represented in the four Gospels. So what did they do for the people? They hung up the pictures so that when the people saw, they saw the lion who was strong to save. They saw the eagle, they saw the ox, and they saw the man. Yeah? And so what the Lord does is to build faith in you. He gives you pictures and he says, if you can imagine what these promises look like, that's how you start to guard your heart. Because you will paint pictures yourself. And as you paint pictures, that's what comes out. That's what he's saying. It's not about logic all the time. It's about that imagination, that godly imagination, and that power to create powerful images of what these promises are for you. And therefore, you live from there. Okay? Let me explain it to you. Do you want a real-life example? That's how he imparts faith. He gives you a faith picture. And that is what we meditate on. Not just logical, analytical words, but he says, this is who I am, and this is what it looks like. So if we read Psalm 1 as an example, let's look at this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. See, when you start to read the Bible this way, it will actually change how you picture what Jesus has done for you. Okay? Because the first bit seems pretty logical, doesn't it? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. And on his law he meditates day and night. I meditate on the law of the Lord. And then what does he go to do? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So the faith picture is, when you're not in the counsel of the wicked, you're like a strong tree planted by living streams, all right? Everything that you do prospers. So you get, I don't know what goes on in your head whenever you hear that, but for me, I feel strong. Do you get that? I go, actually, whenever I'm feeling well, whenever I'm doing it, you know, in that place of letting the Lord speak into my heart when I'm conscious of Jesus and I'm seeing him, actually, the picture that I get, I don't go analytical. I just picture myself being really strong. Can I tell you what this looked like for me on Friday? On Friday afternoon, I was in church preparing, obviously, and then I had a business meeting at 2 o'clock for my business. I've been feeling a wee bit sick, actually. Run the temperature, sore throat, not feeling great, blah, 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 blah. And I could not be bothered going to this meeting. Hope they're not listening. But I really couldn't be bothered. But it's a really quite a big business, a UK national. And they'd phoned me when I was on my holidays and said, will you come in? And I'd been preparing Psalm. I'd been reading Psalm 1. And the Lord going, well, you know, logically and every other way, I was feeling like whatever, okay? And I was feeling really sick. And I walked into the office, which was quite dark, and had little windows, and they'd had fish for their lunch. I near booked, honest to goodness. I was like, and because I was running, I was like sweating, and you know, so I walked in, Mr. Clammy guy, okay, sweaty, kind of not seeing about four of everyone, and then the smell of fish hit me, and I thought, seriously, the first businessman I've ever taken where I'm going to puke on them. And it was just absolutely awful, but that's what was going on in the physical. But the Lord had shown me in the morning, he just said, stop a minute. I had so much on last week, and the Lord said, stop, and I just want you to picture what that meeting looks like at the end. Because I thought, God, I was going to cancel it. I wasn't going to go. And he said, what do you want? I said, you know what, Lord? I don't want to be messing about. I just want, if they want to do the business, let's get it done. And you know what I mean? And so I just sat for a minute, and the Lord, I was having this conversation with the Lord, and what was going on in my head was, I was picturing the end, walking out, going, brilliant. You know, the deal's done, and it's all going to happen. And you know what? In the natural, they should have just taken one look at me and went, clear off. By the end of that meeting at 3 o'clock on Friday, because I went and I did it, and I just went in saying, Lord, you know, if everything that I do prospers, even in my weakness, in my lowest place, in my, honestly, I can't be bothered, but I know that if I put my hand to this, it's going to be prosperous. I've got the business, folks. All right? Isn't that good? And I walked out, and actually, the woman walked me out. She's lovely. She added me on social media and is, you know, basically, you know, I'm not going to say hired me, but she was like, come on, we really want to do business. And she's lovely, and their team are lovely, and it was brilliant. I felt rubbish the whole way through it, but when I put my hand to it, it was prospered. But you know where that actually, when I got out of that, the Lord said to me, that started in the morning, Andrew. What were you imagining and thinking? Were you possessing, I go before you and open the door and I'll give you favor? Or were you just going with, logically, I'm in a crap place. I feel sick. This is no good. I don't know these people. I have to sell this. And the Lord said, what do you really want? Picture and imagine it. You see, he links your imagination with what's in there will come out. Do you get that? So your heart is all about what you think. Let me turn that the other way around. If you receive bad news, what goes off in your head? If you're not sure about something, what scenarios do you run through in your mind? That's the other way. What do you imagine? Sometimes in the busyness of life, we don't even stop, do we? We just keep going. But what's playing at a rapid rate is the pictures of, oh, flip, that's, oh, no, and that'll happen. Do you get me? Or is that just me? I'm probably not even a Christian. Do you know what I mean? But you have things going in, and you've already run the scenarios, and you have pictured what it's going to be like. Is it logical and analytical? No. What is it? You have the ability, you see, God-given ability to creatively think. And what the Lord says is, if you guard your heart and you think about being strong and planted and prospering, and you keep your heart with that and paint that picture, then your life will flow from there. Why? Because you're Jesus-focused. That's Jesus-focused. So I have to ask you, what goes on in there? Because all the way through the word, what you're going to see, he does it all the time. Does that make sense? And so sometimes, I mean, what's interesting is we teach people confession. Confess with your words, but never actually tell them about imagination and getting your heart right first. And you'll never confess past where your heart's at. Your words are really important, but I'm telling you now, I grew up with some crazy word of faith stuff going on in my life. You know, having at times, you know, screaming and shouting and cursing and doing all this sort of stuff, but inside going, I have no clue whether God's real or not. But my words, and then do you ever, have anyone ever done that? You see, when we get to confession, without conviction. Like Gary told us last week, when David spoke, "My God has delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, and you will just be like one of those, you uncircumcised Philistines," type stuff. He was not speaking hope, he was speaking faith. Because he had the picture in his head. Do not doubt for one minute that the creative ability that you have been given by God to paint pictures of his goodness in your life is from him. In fact, that's where it starts. You start to possess there, and you will see it overflow. Does that make sense? So some of you this morning, I need to say, hey, this is not about, you know, me going, dream big, but what is it in your life? What does health look like for you? What does prosperity in your family look like? What does peace in your mind look like? Where does it say it in the Word? And what picture does he give? Because the whole way through, that's what he does. And it's going to be the area where the devil attacks you. He paints pictures in your mind of what's going to go wrong. He paints pictures in your mind of what you have to do. All right? But believe me when I say this. According to Genesis 6, verse 5, what begins in your imagination and starts there is as good as done. And so that's why I ask you to feed well. That's why I encourage you to get into the Word, to look at Jesus, to keep your eyes on Jesus, and then to think. Because for me, you know, at times I have, you know, there's some of my favorite verses. They're all about trees, actually. I don't know why that is. But about that thing of being planted and being strong. Do you get that? About being secure. And just allowing my heart and my mind to just think. And that's meditating. You see, you know, meditating can mean to chew over and keep going over. I find that in the way that I grew up, certainly around some of the Word of Faith stuff, was around, you know, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, and at some point you'll believe it, or you'll tip the hand of God and he'll do it for you. All right? Actually, what I have done much more recently in the last year, 18 months, is simply allow the Lord to show me in my mind's eye what blessed looks like. And you know what? Friday was an overflow. Are we Sophie, all right? For all she's a wee hallion. Because I was asking Jesus about this the week, going, Lord, I feel like I've been mugged, right? And he said, no, you haven't. Because like, this is the kind of propaganda, all right? Remember that. Make a t-shirt for Father's Day in church. That was what they were told to do. I just got a, we want a puppy, we want a dog, you know? And Stephen said there, but you will have to pick up the poo, all right, at the bottom. Seriously, isn't that awesome? Which I did this morning. And but you know what was really funny? Every day that week, and the Lord said, see from the youngest, this is why we teach our kids grace. See from the very, and I believe this, and you might think I'm crazy, but hey, you thought that anyway. See, for the last 18 months, nearly every day, when she's drawn our family, she's put the dog in there. Seriously? Every day, Dad, I'm Dad to her. Father, what do you like? I'd like a puppy. Anything else? An iPad? I was always going to get her an iPad. I think that's massively extravagant for a six-year-old, but it's better than a puppy. Because, listen, all right? iPad, definitely. A car, sweetheart, it's all sorted. You know, it's like, as long as it's not a dog. Because I was adamant. I was absolutely adamant. And I meant it. Not joking. Every time I stood here and went, ha, 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 inside I was going, no way. And even some of my fellow board members who have dogs were going, don't do it. Don't do it. All right? Phil and Paul, we're going, you'll regret it. We did it. But you know what's funny? We're coming home yesterday, and seriously, like, we knew that we were getting the dogs. We went to see it last Sunday, because something happened genuinely in my heart. Now, go with me on this, okay? In my heart, something changed, and I can't tell you what it is. But there was a moment in holiday where I looked at Penny and went, aye, great idea. And inside, everything logically inside of me was going, shut up. What are you talking about, you moron? That's the last thing you want to do. But I was thinking that and saying, why don't we go and find one, all right? Yesterday, we're driving home. We got the wee dog outside of Ballinahinch from a breeder, and it was so funny. We put it in a wee box, sitting on Ben's knee. And you know the first time that wee puppies are in cars, they get sick, motion sickness? Well, we didn't really tell Ben that. We said she might be sick. Bokes three times, right? Whoa! And so about the second time, now it's not about the dogs, but my reaction to it. This is what the Lord's done in my heart, okay? Wee Sophie, imagining it. And out of her wee heart of imagination, the Lord did something for her and changed the hardest of hearts, I'm telling you. Because yesterday, we're driving along, and Ben's going, it's spoked, daddy, it's done. There was a moment, right, where he's going, come through, carried off, it's spoked again, get it off me, you take it, dad. I'm going, Ben, I'm driving, it's all down the seats, and he's going, bah. I'm going, don't you be sick, and bah, bah. Right? And I'm actually sitting there going, Jesus, this is awesome. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, I wasn't even going, no, you're right, open the window and buck it out. But 6 months ago, that would have happened. I was actually sitting there going, praise the Lord, I get to clean up the sick when I get home. And I was looking at Penny with tears in my eyes. I love my family. Thinking, what is wrong with me? Like, seriously, what is wrong with me? And Ben, when he got out, was like, the car's stinking. It was stinking anyway, Ben. No, it's really stinking. Sort that out. And I actually checking in with myself going, I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place. It's not random. Now, you might laugh, but genuinely the Lord said to me, if I'll do it in a child, all right, I'll do it for you. And I genuinely felt I didn't get mugged at all. But there will be things, let me just encourage you like this. There will be things for you right now, people, situations, relationships, where you go, I have no idea how that's going to change. All right? Do you get that? And all I can say is, let's just say I'm that person in your situation. I'm now standing on the other side, all right? Where all I can say is, I have no idea why my heart changed. I genuinely don't. And it's not like I love my kids any more than I did 6 months ago. It's not that our house has changed. I don't know, genuinely, what caused me to come round, all right? Maybe she was putting something in my tea. I don't know. Maybe I'm just highly drugged right now and I don't actually realize. At some point, it's going to wear off and I'll wake up. Who knows? Let's just go. If that's true, just keep feeding me it, sweetheart, because it's working a treat. It's definitely the Lord, okay? But you get that? So I don't know. All I know is that every day, Sophie painted a picture of what was really important to her. It was in her imagination. And the Lord links that. And out of that place, life flows. And I don't know why I changed. Pray for me. But genuinely, I'm pretty excited about it. Let me go really quick. Does that make sense? Okay, let me. That's the first mention in the old. The Lord links your heart with what you imagine. That's why he paints pictures of faith for you to read and go, Lord, what does that look like for me? The second time, or the first time he mentions this very quickly, I'm going to do this in about 5 minutes, is the first time heart is mentioned in the New is in this Beatitude Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to do an Andrew Toogood rewrite of this verse so you can see. It's blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I've said to you, like when you read particularly the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, it's like, Lord, seriously, I fail in every one of those. Now what we have, when you see through the lens of Jesus and the finished work, what we see is that this is not Jesus when he says, as he goes through the Sermon on the Mount going, this is the ultimate standard for living, all right? What he was saying is, if you want to live under your own steam, this is what the law really looks like. It's impossible. You need a savior. So he's saying if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery, all that sort of stuff. Well, there's no way any man, woman, or anyone else is going to live to that standard because in our flesh it's impossible. But the Lord wasn't saying that. He was saying, listen, this is what the ultimate fulfillment of the law looks like, and you'll never do it. It was almost like pushing to go, yes, there is a standard, but you're never going to reach it. That's why I am here. Behold, I've come to bring good news, all right? And so he says, blessed are the pure in heart. There is nothing you can do on the outside to make you pure on the inside. You get that? So straight away, we have an issue with the words of Jesus. How do I become pure by what I do? It's not possible. And this is why we talk about grace changing you from the inside out. Let me change some of these words. The word blessed here, if you want to know, is makarios. It's linked very closely to faith. That's why it's in this law first mentioned. Now, what that means is it describes, I'm going to just use the actual explanations, okay? It describes a believer in an enviable position from having received God's favor, all right? So people look at you. You're in an enviable, that's quite a hard word to say. People look at you and go, flip me, you're blessed. There's envy from people who don't know when they look at your life, all right? That's what it means to be blessed, all right? Makarios. It literally, it makes long or makes large his benefits. That's what happens when you receive the goodness of God, all right? Blessed are the pure, all right? This word is katharos. This is the word that is used in John 15. Remember when I said about how the Lord lifts you up? You know, about the vine and the branches? We've preached that. And he cleans you. Katharos. It means to be clean, to be pure, and to be unstained. All right? It means either literally or ceremonially and spiritually guiltless, innocent, and upright. Thank Jesus that's you. All right? Spiritually, in every way, you are without guilt. You're completely upright. Isn't that good? You're as clean today in the eyes of Jesus as you will ever be. All right? So it's not about what you're doing. It's about what he has made you to be. So you're in an enviable position. I can't say that word. Position. All right? Because you are completely guiltless, innocent, and upright in your inner life, all right? Cardia, that's the word for heart there. It's cardia. It means your inner life and your intent. So what he says here is this. Where you see the Lord linking, where he links, in the Old Testament, he links your heart with imagination, right? Here he says he links blessing and seeing God with being absolutely upright. Do you get that? So what you have to do is when you put those two things together, what you do is you go, what do I see? What do I give my heart? What do I behold and give my attention to? Because where I put that is what I'm going to see. Do I live every day focusing on the fact that Jesus has made me completely pure? Do I resist at all times the temptation to fall back under law? To go, he will love me less because of this today. Is that how I imagine and how I picture? Does that make sense? So in the old, it's about imagination. In the new, it's about you will see God when there's purity in that inner place. All right? Let me just finish by saying this morning. Abraham was a blessed man, all right? He was blessed, but he was barren. And the Lord speaks to him. And he speaks to him about this very thing. He says, lift up your eyes. This is in Genesis chapter 13. The Lord had promised Abraham great promises, just like he's promised you. We're all sons of Abraham in the sense that we're sons of faith, okay? Because Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness well before the law, okay? And what happens is this, that Abraham is living with the blessing of God spoken over his life, but there's barrenness within it because his wife can't have kids. And the Lord speaks to him in Genesis 12, and then in Genesis 13, he's at this place. And I just want to leave you with this, okay? Because the Lord says something. He says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, okay? Wherever you're at this week, whatever situation, whatever place you find yourself in, lift up your head from the place where you are. Look northward and southward, eastward and westward, all right? Every way around you. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. And I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if no one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. You know what I love about this picture about Abraham to finish? Is the Lord is really good to him. Because I think the Lord understands at times. Why did the Lord say the dust of the earth? He talks about the stars later on, or he could have talked about anything. But he said he looked at the dust of the earth. So I think the Lord knows sometimes our heads go down. You get that? And so he gives him another faith picture to go, even the dust on the ground, when you look at that, remember my promise. Do you get that? From the place where you are, look all around you. Because I think Abraham at this point, he goes halfway when he first hears the call of God, then he's going the further way. He's now with Lot and it's all getting a bit complicated in terms of space and all that sort of stuff. And there's that time where the Lord's spoken, I'm blessed, but I'm still barren. And my head goes down. And the Lord painted a picture even when his head was down so that when he looked at the dust, and there's a lot of dust in Israel, he would still see the promise of God. You get that? Allow the Lord this week. Do you know what I would do if I were you? I would just take a few verses this week that give you a picture of the Lord's goodness. I will rise like an eagle. Well, if that's just not poetry, that's faith pictures. Okay? Above the storm, not in it. I'll be like a tree planted. Everything I put my hand to is going to be brought. Allow the Lord to creatively show you these pictures. And wherever you put your eye, I believe the Lord's going to show you again and again and again. Whether your head's up or your head's down, he'll still show you faith pictures. And can I tell you this? That's where you start to possess. That's where you start to possess that which grace has provided. When it starts in here, it'll overflow. So guard that. Keep it. Amen.